بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, we are in the Mubarak month of Rajab. The month of Rajab, followed by the month of Sha'ban, and then the month of Ramadan. We commonly hear the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban, wa balighna Ramadan. Wallah, grant us barakah, the month of Rajab and Sha'ban, and make us reach Ramadan. So we have commenced these very auspicious months. Many people have explained that in the month of Rajab, we are sowing the seeds. In the month of Sha'ban, we are irrigating the soil and allowing for the seed to germinate. And in the month of Ramadan, that is the time of harvest. Basically, we have to start making a very concerted effort in that direction to enjoy the beautiful Ramadan and gain its maximum blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for those who observe the month of Ramadan. If we start just on the first day of Ramadan or after the first week of Ramadan when it commences, then by the time we start getting into gear, the month of Ramadan would have elapsed, and then we all lament and we complain that we didn't do much in the month of Ramadan. Therefore, Allah of His kindness has blessed us with the month of Rajab, which is a blessed month. The month of Sha'ban, a blessed month. So we prepare in these 2 months. So when we reach Ramadan, we are already spiritually charged. Now that Ramadan fasting becomes easy for us, the Taraweeh becomes easy for us, Tilawat of the Quran becomes enjoyable to us, Dhikrullah and all other ibadat, I'tikaf, Laylatul Qadr, the sadaqah that we give, spending more time in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our mothers and sisters at home, spending more time on the musalla, then we feel spiritually rejuvenated. We feel that bond and attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find our wedding functions long in advance, the people prepare, the bridegroom, the bride. Months in advance, they're making preparations for the day of nikah. Students write exams, especially in metric exams. Long in advance, they're preparing for the metric exams. Businessmen, especially in the month of December, they're very busy. But long in advance, they're already buying the stock, buying the goods, making sure everything is in order. We mustn't run short of goods. Our staff, everybody is now ready for the month when we're going to go all out. Hafiz, before Ramadan, he already starts making door again so that the month of Ramadan, he knows his door on the musalla, his tarawih, etc. Like that, we have to start slowly and make a concerted effort, keep our direction focused, and try our level best to fight and suppress our nafs, our desires, our temptations, so that when the month of Ramadan comes, we do not spoil our roza. We do not spoil our fasting by making ghiba, by vulgar, using abusive vulgar language. Our eyes, we're able to lower our gaze. Our ears, we are going to make sure we don't listen to any carrying tales and ghiba and gossip. So before Ramadan, month of Ramadan comes, we have to start bringing these good qualities in our life and refraining from all evil temptations and evil habits that we have. The month of Rajab is amongst Ashhurul Hurum. Ashhurul Hurum are the sacred months. Quran Sharif mentions this. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, Thalathun Mutawaliyat. These 3 months come one after the other. Dhul Qa'dah, followed by Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. The fourth month, which is, was very sacred, even in the time of Jahiliyyah, in which Allah Ta'ala talks about Ashurul Hurum, is the month of Rajab. That's the seventh month in the Islamic calendar. So we see 3 months come consecutively, then the other months that come in, and then Rajab. The month of Rajab was held very sacred even at that time. Rajabul Murajab. The word Rajab is detailed explanation in Arabic. What does it mean? Simply means to glorify, to hold in high esteem. So the month of Rajab was a month that was held in high esteem even at that time. To such an extent that the tribes and the clans will not fight, they will not wage war in these 4 sacred months. There was a clan, a tribe by the name of Mudar. Mudar, they were so particular, more than the other clans, in ensuring that they did not fight, they did not carry any weapons and fight. There must be no hostility, no warfare in the month of Rajab. So much so that Rajab became linked to this clan. It was known as Rajabu Mudar, the Rajab of Mudar clan. And because these 3 months, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram come together, and then there's a gap of other months, and then Rajab comes. So it is also called as Rajabul Fard, Rajab which comes alone, meaning away from the other 3 months which are sacred. This month in the hadith also, it is named as Munassirul Asinna. Asinna is the plural of Sinan, which means spears, arrows. Munassil from Naslun, Nisal. In those days when they would have shoot arrows and they had spears, then they would attach to that arrow a feather. And this feather you would use to allow that arrow to glide very swiftly in enabling it to reach its target. In the month of Rajab, they would pluck out those feathers from those arrows, indicating that now there is no fight, there's no hostility, there's going to be no war whatsoever, and they put those weapons away. So, Munassirul Asinna. Therefore, also is called Rajabul Asam. Asam means deaf. Why it's called deaf? Because in the month of Rajab, they would hear no clatter of any weapons. There's no swords, there's no arrows, there's no shields. Everything is put away. Rajabul Asab. Sabbun means to pour. They would believe that in this month of Rajab, they would get a lot of benefits and blessings. So the month of Rajab has various names mentioned. Ulama and historians have mentioned various names. So it was held in high esteem even in the time of Jahiliyyah. So basically, what we ought to do, the barakah that we are asking for is not barakah only in rosy, no. The barakah that is implied here is barakah in our amal, in our zindagi, in our lives. Channeling ourselves now to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that when the month of Ramadan comes, we are ready to perform to the best of our ability to maximize in every moment of the month of Ramadan. So this in short was just a brief glimpse of the month of Rajab. What I want to discuss today inshallah is an incident when a man comes to a sahabi by the name of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. This man comes and he requests him to give him some advice. He says, "Izni." Now Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, very great sahabi of Rasulullah s.a.w. His real name was Uwaymir radiallahu ta'ala. Extremely pious. He was an abid, spending hours in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a qari of the Quran. He was a faqih and alim. And he lived a very simple life. Very simple life. This Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala was from the Ansar. We have the Muhajirin who migrated from Makkah and they came to Medina. The Ansar, the helpers who were residing in Medina, then they took care of the Muhajireen. So he was from the Ansar, specifically from the Khazraj tribe. There were two tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj. So he was a Khazraji. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid him off with Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From today you are brothers. So when the Sahaba made Hijrat, Muhajireen, when they came to Medina, they had no homes, they had no family. They needed some money to survive. The Ansar went all out, opened their hearts out, and they looked after the Muhajir brothers. So Rasulullah had paid one Ansari to one Muhajir. So Salman Farsi was paid with Uwaymir, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. One Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala goes to visit his brother, Mu'akhat we call it in Arabic, the brotherhood that Rasulullah established between them. He says, let me go visit my brother Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. When he goes there, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala had gone out into his orchard. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala noticed the dwelling of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala being very simple. And he noticed from the outward garb of the wife of Salman, of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, that they were very, very poor. He inquired of her, that what's the matter? She says, well, your brother, Abu Darda, لا حاجة له في الدنيا. He's got no need in dunya. In other words, he doesn't really go all out and worry about, you know, making the house smart, beautiful, etc. At that moment, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu comes, excited, elated to see Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala, immediately gets some food and he tells him to eat. But he himself is not eating. Salman Farsi asks, what is the problem? He says, I'm fasting. He said, Nafil fast it was. He says, no. You have to open, break your fast and you will eat with me. So he opens his fast, he breaks his fast. Obviously they kept qaza afterwards, it was Nafil fast. And then he eats food with Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala spends some time with him. At night, he spends the night there. After Isha, they retire to bed. And after a little while, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, he rises to perform tahajjud salah. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala stops him. He says, no, still very early. Sleep. Abu Darda goes back to sleep. Midnight he wakes up again to read tahajjud. Again Salman Farsi stops him. No, sleep. Enough time you have. The last third of the night, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala wakes up now. He now awakens Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, tells him, now is the time for tahajjud. Both of them make tahajjud together. Then Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala explains to Abu Darda. He says, وَإِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. See, your body, there's a right over you. Allah does not want you to exert yourself the entire night to engage in tahajjud, and you have no time to sleep. وَإِنَّ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Allah also has a right over you. In other words, we are supposed to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay away from whatever Allah has prohibited us from. We have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time for salah, we are supposed to be present, etc. He says, وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Even your wife has a right over you. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu listens to Salman, but he's a bit concerned. Immediately after Fajr, he goes to, when Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu then departed, he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is what transpired last night. This is what Salman tells me. Rasulullah says, Sadaqa Salman. Salman has spoken the truth. His advice is correct. So very simple life Abu Darda radiallahu anhu had. Now to explain in brief again, his maqam is another sahabi by the name of Auf bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala. He was very close to Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala and to Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala. And he was always wondering, after their demise, what their condition must be like in the hereafter. So Allah makes him see a dream. Auf bin Malik sees a dream. In the dream he sees a beautiful home. in Jannah. Qubbatun min Adam. A beautiful home with a dome made of leather. And there was a lot of greenery around. Beautiful meadow. There were beautiful sheep. Extremely beautiful, this home. And he was amazed and he was startled. What a beautiful home. And he sees who? Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala. Abdurrahman, this is your home. Abdurrahman says, yes. He says, Ya Auf, Auf, this is due to my attachment to Quran. Recitation of Quran, learning Quran, practicing on Quran, teaching Quran. He was a lover of Quran. On that, Allah gave him this beautiful home. He says, but beyond this, above my home, is such a beautiful place that no eyes have seen, no ears have heard of, and even the thought has not crossed the heart of any person. He says, yes, whose home is that? He says, that is the home of Abu Darda. And he sees that beautiful home of Abu Darda, radiallahu ta'ala. He asks Abdurrahman bin Auf, that how did Abu Darda get this then? He says, إِنَّهُ دَفَعَ الدُّنْيَا بِالرَّاحَتَيْنِ وَالصَّدْرِ. He says, your brother Abu Darda, he pushed away dunya with both his hands and his body. In other words, when dunya was coming to him, he was not interested in dunya. He always pushed dunya away. My respected friends and elders, brothers, or mothers, sisters, it doesn't mean we must not earn any dunya. No. This was the caliber of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. His focus was on the akhirah. He lived a simple life. He did not complain. He had qanaat in him. He was content. But the lesson for us is that whilst we are earning halal, our mind should not drift from our real maqsood, that is the akhirah. Allah has got beautiful homes prepared for us as long as we do not become so consumed with dunya. So nonetheless, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala is asked this, give me some advice for this man who comes to him. And he says, give me just one advice. Obviously, one advice, simple, he can practice upon. Abu Darda looks at him and says, no, not one. Thintain, thalatha, arba'a, khamsa. I'll give you many more advices. And then he tells him very briefly, we just discuss his advices very briefly. He says, la ta'kul illa. And he says, if you practice on what I'm going to tell you, then Allah will give you ad-darajat al-ula, high ranks in the hereafter. He says, لا تأكل إلا طيبا. Eat only that which is halal. Eat, consume only that which is halal. We have spoken previously many times on eating halal, consuming halal, earning halal, etc. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that discusses a person undertaking a very tedious, long journey. Hair disheveled, there's sand, there's dust covered over his body, and a very pitiable condition. He raises his hand, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any person looking at him will feel sorry for him and give him whatever they have. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ لَسَّمَا يَا رَبِّي making dua to Allah. But وَمَتْعَمُوا حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامُ وَمَرْكَبُوا حَرَامُ وَغُضِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ. He's eating, drinking, everything from haram sources. The conveyance also haram. Nourished by haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. Rasulullah says in the hadith, how can his dua then be answered? This is the effect when halal does not go into our system. A hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ جَسَدٌ غُضِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. That body which is nourished with haram shall not enter Jannah. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ. A man will not be, a time will come when a person will not be concerned from where he is taking. What is the source of his income? أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Is it from halal or haram? He won't be bothered. Long as he makes a quick buck, long as he gets more money, whether it is stolen goods, whether it is haram, whether he is deceiving the customer, regardless of all this, long as his bank balance is going higher and he's enjoying a comfortable, happy life. One dirham, like we say, one rand, that is attained through interest transaction, it is worse than committing zina 36 times. A person gives some sadaqah, but the money that he earned and he gave the sadaqah, in that money there was one dirham, small portion was haram, Allah will never accept that sadaqah. We can go on and explain earning halal, sahabiyat, the mothers, the sisters, the sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anha, they would tell their husbands in the morning, go out and earn halal, but make sure you don't bring any haram home. Nasbiru ala al-ju' wa la nasbiru ala nari jahannam. We will be patient. We'll endure hunger and starvation. If you go out and you just can't bring anything home, no food, no problem. You'll endure pain and starvation, but we will not be able to endure the fire of jahannam. Rasulullah says, wa ajmilu fit talab. And seek halal. Talabu kasbil halal, faridatun ba'da al-faridah. After the faraid, like salat, etc., it is obligatory upon us to earn halal. Now when we're earning halal, Rasulullah said in another hadith, wa ajmilu fit talab. Yani khub kamao. Achi tariqe se jamal ke saath kamao. Earn in a nice way. Use your business acumen, your intelligence. Find out, get advice from people who have got experience, but make sure the tariqah you use is absolutely halal. The manner in which you're bringing that money, it must be halal. Do it with applying your mind. You don't have to beg from people. Use all your skill, your intelligence. You can advertise your product. Do not speak lies. Do not cheat. Do not deceive. And have qana'at. Be content. Don't hanker after dunya. Whatever Allah has given us, we have qana'at and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ajmilu fi talab. The hadith of Rasul says, inna awwala ma untina min ibn Adam batanuhu. The very first thing in the fire of Jahannam that will stench from man will be his stomach. Therefore Rasul said, try your level best. In other words, go all out in ensuring that you earn a halal livelihood. So Abu Darda says that لا تأكل إلا طيبا. Eat only halal. Then ولا تكسب إلا طيبا. And earn only halal. So one is eating halal, and also your manner of acquiring that wealth, it must be according to the Sharia. The third, ولا تدخل بيتك إلا طيبا. Bring and enter into your homes only that which is halal, only that which is wholesome. So again, you're going to eat yourself and you're going to bring food on the table. You're going to make your family eat. Make them eat only that which is halal. Also from this, we also understand that do not bring into your homes things which are haram. So many appliances or gadgets we have brought down into our homes, masoom children, they do not know much. They don't know masail of deen. They don't know what is taqwa. They don't know what is gaining the pleasure of Allah. And they are busy with those same gadgetry. And they will view those things that will make their minds morbid and filthy. So as they grow, then they'll indulge in haram practices. Then Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu tells him that each day, seek your rozi from Allah Ta'ala daily. He says, سَلْ رِزْقَكْ مِنَ اللَّهِ يَوْمًا بِيَوْمٍ. In other words, every morning, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma kfini bihalalik an haramik wa akhdini bifadlika amman siwak. Allah, you grant me halal. Make me independent out of your grace and mercy from others. Don't make me muhtaj on people. Ya Allah, give me halal and tayyib rozi. After fajr also, there is a dua. That, oh Allah, give me increase in my knowledge and give me tayyib, rizqan tayyiban, wa amalan mutaqabbala, Allah, Allahumma rizqni ilman nafi'a, give me beneficial knowledge, and give me halal food, and give me amalan mutaqabbala, such practices that you will accept. Give me tawfiq of doing good deeds that you will make maqbool. So every day, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah waits for us to beg from Him. Read our Fajr Salat, and after Fajr, in our dua, ask Allah to make our rozi come to us with ease, without making much effort, in a halal and proper way. Then he says, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ, every morning when you rise, فَعْدُدْ نَفْسَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ, regard yourself to be amongst the dead people. كَأَنَّكَ لَحِقْتَ بِهِمْ, as though you're already in the qabrstan. In other words, you should remind yourself, I'm not going to live forever and ever. Maut is going to come. Maut is going to strike. Tomorrow I will be in the qabrstan. And a few weeks back we gave the incident of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, as he passed the qabrstan in Kufa, and he addressed the people in the qabrstan, that what is your condition? Let me tell you all, in the dunya, your wives have remarried, your inheritance has been already distributed, somebody else has occupied your homes. Tell us how, what's your condition in the qabr? And obviously they won't be able to answer. So Sayyidina Ali drew the attention of the people around him, that maut is a reality, qabr is a reality, and therefore we should prepare for that. أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ يعني الموت, every day increase the remembrance of maut, the terminator of all pleasures. People are on holiday, but holiday will come to an end. Every vacation comes to an end. Back to work, back to school again. Like that, the dunya will come to an end. And then begins akhirat. Then begins the marhala of qabr. Then the day of qiyamah, hashar. So regard yourself to be amongst the dead. And then he says, Hab irdaka lillah. Give away your integrity, your respect, your honor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن سَبَّكَ أَحَدٌ أَوْ شَتَمَكَ أَوْ قَاتَلَكَ فَدَعْهُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. If anybody quarrels with you, fights with you, sways you, dishonors you, then ignore him and leave him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Izzat, honor is only from Allah. تُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. Allah gives honor, Allah disgraces. In dunya we will have people who will take away our integrity, dishonor us, disrespect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches all those things. On the day of qiyamah, Allah will punish that person who dishonored a believer. Plains of Arafat, farewell, pilgrimage, farewell, sermon. Rasulullah emphasized that the honor of every Muslim is sacred. His life is sacred. His integrity is sacred. When Rasulullah made Fath Makkah, when Makkah was conquered, the entire incident we have heard, we have read. But he calls Bilal, oh Bilal, call out the Adhan, go on top of the Kaaba and call out the Adhan. Amongst the mushrikeen, some people who had not yet embraced Islam at that time, Fatih Makkah is taking place. One person remarks, Ma'adallah, could Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could he not find any other person than this black crow, referring to Bilal, from Abyssinia? Could he not find a better person to call out this azan, a black crow? Rasulullah was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately he reproached these people. You know who's Bilal radiallahu ta'ala? Rasulullah sees a dream. And the next day he calls Bilal, oh Bilal, Mali, how come, oh Bilal, I hear your footsteps in front of me in Jannah? This was a maqam, an izzat, an honor Allah give Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. The Rasulullah hears the footsteps of Bilal in front of him in Jannah. He says, Bilal says, Ya Rasulullah, whenever, whether it is day or night, and I require to make ablution and wudu, each time I make wudu, I go read 2 rakat salat. Nafil, that we call salatul tahiyatul wudu. Each time I do that, whether it's late part of the night or day, I will go and read this. So Bilal radiallahu was given honor. So much so that Umar radiallahu anhu say, "A'taqa Sayyiduna Sayyidana." Our master Abu Bakr, Sayyid, our master Abu Bakr, he freed our master Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the final advice Abu Darda gives, he says, وَإِذَا أَسَأْتَ فَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ. You make a mistake, you commit a sin, make istighfar. Repent. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us start making istighfar. The more istighfar we make, according to the hadith, the black spots that have come onto our hearts because of sin, it will be erased, obliterated. The heart will become polished. Suqila, this is the word that's come in the hadith of Rasulullah said, Tuba, glad tidings, liman wajda fi sahifati istighfarun kathiran. On the day of Qiyamah, you open your namai amal, your registers, and you see so much istighfar, 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 istighfar. Glad tidings for such a person. Man lazim al istighfar, whoever holds on to istighfar, he adheres to istighfar. Day and night, all the time, he spends a lot of time, his tongue is engaged. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِن كُلِّ دِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. Allah will make an opening for him from every difficulty. وَمِن كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا. From every sorrow, Allah will give him happiness. وَرَزَقَهُ مِن حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah will provide for him rosy from unseen sources. Rasulullah says, Ma'asum, committed no sins. Despite all this, in one gathering sitting, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Sahaba would hear him making istighfar 100 times. How much more important for us to also make istighfar. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. These are the few advices that Abu Darda gave this person. And the important thing is that tayyib has come into our system, into our lives, halal, tayyib, rosy. And beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make istighfar and remind ourselves of maut akhirat. And do not worry about the izzat. Izzat is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is mu'izz. And He has izzat in His control. And He will grant the person his true integrity and honor if any person disrespects Him. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Besides the Rushdie. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
La ilaha illallah. 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 Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu wa ta'ala sha'nuhu. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. اللهم لك الحمد كله لك شكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا الله ما لغناكم معا فرما ما لخطاكم معا فرما يا الله forgive us my Allah يا الله you are so kind so merciful so loving my Allah يا الله هم غنيغار هي الله We have committed too many sins in our life, my Allah. Forgive us, my Allah. Have mercy upon us, my Allah. You are Afoon, Kareemun. You will love to forgive, my Allah. Every single sin we committed, my Allah. In the darkness of the night, in broad daylight, in public, in privacy. Amadan, Khata'an, Saghair, Kabair. Major sins, minor sins, ya Allah. Forgive us completely, my Allah. Remove the darkness from our heart, my Allah. Ya Allah, humari diloko musaffa, mujalla, muzakka bana. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها Allah grant all of us عافيات سلامتي حفاظت عزت أمن خير سكون راحة protection ومعرفة قرب Give us the sweetness of iman my Allah The sweetness of your mubarak and blessed name my Allah The sweetness of begging from you my Allah The sweetness of making sajda before you my Allah The sweetness of your tilawat my Allah Of your Quran Majeed my Allah Ya Allah, we have got so many hajat and needs, my Allah. Sar se pair tak, Ya Allah, from head to toe, we are completely dependent upon you, my Allah. We've got different needs, my Allah, different worries and sorrows and griefs and hardships, my Allah. Ya Allah, fulfill all our hajat and needs, my Allah. Remove our difficulties, my Allah. Whether it's a financial problem, whether it's a social problem, domestic problem, whatever the problem is, my Allah. So many people are maqroos, my Allah. They're in debts, my Allah. Ya Allah, they're trying desperately to pay off their debts, my Allah. Help them, my Allah. Put softness in the hearts of their creditors, my Allah. Ya Allah, so many are not well. They're sick, my Allah. Grant them shifai kamil, ajil, mustaqir, dai, my Allah. Ya Allah, our mothers and sisters home, so many, Ya Allah, they've got depression, my Allah.
Allah, remove the depression, my Allah. They've got different problems, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are well aware of each person's need, my Allah. Ya Qadi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi' al-Baliyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat, Allahumma kashif al-gham, mufarrij al-ham, mujib da'wat al-muttarrin idha da'uk, Rahman al-Dunya wal-Akhir wa rahimahuma, farhamna fi hajatina kulliha, بقضائها ونجاعها رحمة تغنينا بها رحمة من سواك يا الله give us حلال طيب روزي ما الله make us only consume that which is حلال طيب ما الله اي مالك الكريم give us plentiful make us use it correctly ما الله يا الله give us strong iman make us live with iman make us die with iman raise us in the day of qiyamah with iman يا الله let our mouth come to us in Medina Sharif ما الله يا الله give us burial in جنة البقي ما الله grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah in the day of qiyamah The holy kothar water from his Mubarak hands. Allah make us enter Jannah without any hisab kitab. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ey Malik al-Kareem, help O Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, help them, my Allah. They've got nothing left now, my Allah. Ey Malik al-Kareem, ya Allah, show us the ajayib of your qudrat, my Allah. Nobody can overpower you, my Allah. Masoom children are suffering, my Allah. Mothers and sisters are suffering, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, my Allah. Jahan bhi musalman pareshan hal ho, ya Allah, unki pareshani dur farma. Ya Allah, make our children, our grandchildren become the coolness of wise. Make them excellent huffaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abram, muqarrabin, maqbooleen, my Allah. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما الا so many young boys and young girls of marriageable age my Allah find them suitable partners my Allah bless them with the nikah ya Allah according to sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم give them a life full of bliss and happiness my Allah and bless them with progeny who become the coolness of their eyes my Allah ya Allah حاضرين غائبين سب کی دعا قبول فرما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين